I'm Brian.
I'm Griffin. This is the eBay for Business podcast, your source for the information and the inspiration to help you start and manage and grow your business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 244. Hello, Brian in San Jose.
Hello, Griffin. Palm Springs.
Palm Desert.
Palm Desert. I have to get used to that.
Well, everyone refers to the whole valley as Palm Springs, but it's like not. Palm Desert is 12 miles away from Palm Springs.
And you're enjoying it?
Yeah, I'm liking it. I'm here in my little studio, as you can see, with my packing blankets up as acoustic baffles, and it works pretty well, and I love the isolation. It's a nice, comfortable room.
Cool. Well, we had a good week this week. You came up to San Francisco. We were all in San Francisco for a day or two.
I was there for a day. You were there for a couple days.
Yep. It was good to get away from the office and think about big things.
Big things, yeah. It was what we call in the corporate world an all hands.
Yes.
Which means we brought our left and our right hands.
Yes.
We didn't leave any at home. Anyway, good week. On to the next week.
Yes.
Lots going on this summer. We'll talk a little bit about your trip coming up in a minute.
Yes, we should do that. And who is our guest this week?
Oh, Brian, you know there's no guest this week. It's all about questions.
Oh, that's right.
This is our 6 month. Every 6 months, we have an episode that's entirely devoted to seller questions. So the questions, they're the guests. And we got a lot, quite a few about some international shipping, some about metrics. There's a whole roster of them. We got two call-ins we're going to hear. One is about time away and best offers, the topic that just simply won't go away. Lots of things. Some of them so easy and some of them a little more complex, but we'll get to those just in a second because I do want to find out what the news is this week, Brian. Is there any news?
We do have a little news.
Okay.
Sort of.
Yeah.
Well, not so much news as an opportunity for some of our sellers.
Oh, good. Do tell.
If you're located in Florida, there are 3 seller meetings happening the week of June 12th that you should check out. The 3 in-person events are happening June 12th in Tampa, June 13th in Orlando, and the last event will be on June 14th in Miami. They all occur in the evening, and they've got an exciting lineup of speakers and topics. I'll be attending these events to answer specific questions and offer tips and best practices. So whether you're new to selling or have a decade of experience, it's open for all to attend. This is a great opportunity to network with local sellers in your area and ask specific questions to eBay staff and to meet yours truly. So be sure to RSVP and get your ticket on the seller event site. You can RSVP for the event by visiting ebay.com/seller meetings or clicking the link in the episode overview. And then also Blaine from our team is going to join me at the Orlando event as well.
Oh, good. So there'll be at least 2 people there.
Yes.
So you can attend these events. There'll be some nosh, some drinks, right? There are always some nosh and drinks.
So there is, and there's some good eBay swag that we're going to give out.
Sips and nibbles.
Yes.
And you can badger Brian.
Yes.
Questions that you don't like the answers that we give. And he's really good to badger. So anyway.
Yes. And I normally don't badger back. My goal is to listen and try and figure out, okay, how can we help sellers who are having issues with our platform?
Yeah, I think you've been at eBay long enough and attended enough of these events so that that deer in the headlight look that you used to have when you first went to seller meetings, you're over that now.
I hope so.
Yeah, I think
you are. But I've kept my original photo on my badge that I do look like a deer in the headlights with that. And it's a good reminder.
You're 20 years old in that photo. How did you manage to keep your badge photo all these years, the same photo?
You know, I lost my badge a couple times. And both times I went in, they said, well, do you want to just keep your same picture? And I said, sure. Oh. And I wasn't thinking about it. And I just said, sure. It's just easier. I'm not a big camera person in the first place. So I've just retained it. I've always thought eBay should be like DMV and like every 5 years you got to get a new one, but I guess they don't.
Well, no, I've had to. When I lost my badge, they've said, well, you got to take a new picture. And I said, why? I said, because you don't look like you used to look. So well, thanks. Thank you. That's a real vote of confidence. Anyway, it's time to get to the all questions segment of this episode. So we'll take a little segue break where the segue music comes in right about now.
You got questions?
We got answers. And as we mentioned, this episode is dedicated entirely to your questions. And we've got a boatload of questions, Brian, and we got to get to them. So would you mind reading the first one for us?
Boatload? I feel like I should be in a shipyard.
I could have said a pant load, so.
This first question was emailed to podcast@ebay.com by seller Amy. She wrote, Dear Brian and Griff, I really enjoy binge listening to your podcast on iHeart. You both have a good rapport. Because of your podcast, I'm going to invest in a thermal printer. Yes. Way to go, Amy. Grift still does not get a dividend, though, for that purchase.
No payola here.
I opened an eBay store in early 2023. Most of the store names were taken, so I thought of a name and published it. Fashionista Amore. I like that name.
Yeah, I do too.
The name didn't fit my brand, so I changed it to Amy's Cupboard.
What does she sell? Cupboards?
No, there's probably things in the cupboard.
Oh, okay.
I noticed that the packing slip shows the store name under the eBay logo. However, the website is still showing the former store name. It really looks bad on the packing slip. I realize I'm going to lose some customers, but I'd rather have my new store name for the website. Can you help? Sincerely, Amy Steiner.
Oh, dear. Well, Amy.
I know.
This is just one of those little shortcomings of eBay, because what happens when you, as a seller, first subscribe to an eBay store and you got to come up with a store name, part of the process of that initial subscription is you get a URL that directs to your store you can use anywhere. It's created at that point. But if you then change your store name, the URL doesn't change. It's the same. And there's no way around that. So there are lots of instances where you will use a store URL to visit a seller's store and notice that the URL name is different than the actual store name because they've changed it since then. Less than ideal, but like I said, there it is. There's no way around it. And it's another reason to give serious consideration to your store name before you subscribe. You got to really think about what's my brand and this is my forever brand. But I don't think you're going to lose customers.
I don't think she will as well. I do think for other listeners out there, if you haven't created a store yet, think about the name you want to have for a long, long time.
I did that when I finally was changing. And in fact, you know, I'm not so sure that my store URL, I got to check that out. This is a good point. I haven't looked at mine because I know I've changed mine recently. So let's see what it says here. So if I go to my store, there's my little blue door. What's behind the blue door? Yeah, so my user ID is Griffville. So when I opened the store, I thought long and hard about the brand and I wanted to use some aspect of my name. I came up with Griffville. A friend of mine designed a little logo. And so everything, my user ID and my store name, everything's the same. But I had to give this some thought. You know, I didn't just jump into it. So you want to give it a lot of thought when you first start off. You know, I said there's no way around this. There is, but I don't think you should do it. And the way you would have to do it is not nice. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm going to say?
Well, I don't know what you're going
to
say.
So you have to register a new user ID. Register your new store with that. Nothing is going to carry over. So any feedback or any, you know, metrics or anything that you've done is not going to carry over. And then you can subscribe to a store and the URL will be the store name. But I don't recommend that. It's just not that important. I mean, I know it's not mirroring your exact current store name, but that's okay. It's not going to impact your business.
Yeah. Amy just started here in 2023. So if she's only got a little bit of feedback and only just started off, then although she said she just opened a store in 2023.
Yeah, she just did.
She
yeah.
could have been selling for a long time.
She could.
So yeah, that is a workaround. I'll give you that. But who wants to lose all of their feedback and all of their kind of their history? Plus, if buyers had followed them, they'd lose that too.
Yeah. Just because your store URL didn't change with your name, you still keep the followers. And of all the assets that come with an eBay store, I think the least important visual marketing aspect is your store URL.
Agreed.
I think it's your logo, your store name, the look of your store. All those are way more important. So, Amy, I know it's not the answer you wanted to hear, but I don't think it's as bad as you think it is. So,
yeah, agreed. And maybe someday we'll fix that, but I don't know how.
Yeah, I don't know. Our next question is from Steve, who sent the following to podcast@ebay.com in an email, of course. He says, I had a buyer initiate a return in April based on the item being defective or not working. After messaging with the buyer, it was learned, based on the picture of the item attached to the return, that the item he wanted to return was not purchased from me. He had bought an almost identical item from another seller, and he had me confused with that seller. Upon learning of the error, the buyer canceled the return, and no refund was given or the item returned. Today, says Steve, while looking at my numbers, I see that the return is still listed against me in my return rate metric. It's showing closed, but because of that, my return rate is inaccurate. I've only had one other return since my beginning on eBay, and it was a legit return. How do I go about getting this one that was canceled removed from my return rate percentage? Respectfully, Steve Dover at Poppy Tea. I think that's his user ID.
I think so.
Well, Brian, I'm sure you've heard this one before.
I have. First off, Steve, I want to just say, you know, thanks for being so focused and diligent on your metrics. I suppose you could contact eBay through help and contact and request that the return be removed from your returns performance metric. But unless your return rate is showing as high, why bother? One return won't jeopardize your performance metrics, but it's up to you.
Yeah.
And I just wouldn't worry.
I just wouldn't either. I know how some sellers, especially smaller sellers, they tend to get really emotional about this. They'll go back to that page every day and say, but that return wasn't an actual return, and this is really bothering me. And if it's really bothering you, then you should contact help and contact and get ready, gird your loins. It's not always an easy battle. But for me, my recommendation is, hey, unless you're on the cusp of like getting higher final value fees because your return rate is so super high, just ignore it. Just leave it alone. It's there. It's not going to impact you at all.
And Steve, if this is only your second one in your whole history of selling on eBay,
yeah,
my assumption is you're nowhere near the high returns rate. And we have buffers in all of our metrics in some ways so that sellers don't have to worry about the one-offs like this.
That's true. Well, Steve, I hope that you'll take our answer to heart. I know it's not easy, but I think you can do it.
Agreed. Well, our next question was called into our voice line on 888-723-4630, and it's from Lauren.
Let's take a listen.
Hi, it's Lauren from Lauren Lugger 1 or Lawrence Designers Fine. I sell out of London, UK. My question is, if I understand, when I send an item from America through eBay shipping, I don't have to pay that fee or sign up for that program with Germany. I could send straight through Germany for America. But from UK, I have to sign up with that program. And unfortunately, I don't seem to make enough sales in Germany to justify me spending 500 euros a year on this program. So do you think eBay UK will start letting me send through their shipping program in the UK and not have to sign up for that whole program with Germany? Please let me know. Thank you so much. Bye. Love the program.
Great question, first off, Lauren, and thanks for calling in from the UK. It's great to hear from our international sellers or listeners as well. Unfortunately, though, the eBay International Shipping Program is not available to UK sellers. In fact, not available to European sellers.
Exactly.
However, if you don't want to sign up for the German Packaging Act, you can set your shipping preferences to put Germany as an excluded country for all your shipping options. If you're using shipping policies, edit each policy to add Germany as an excluded country.
Yeah, and it's pretty self-explanatory. If you go into any of your policies and choose the edit function, you'll see there's an exclusion list and you can then add Germany as an excluded for each one. And that's the recommendation. That comes directly from our expert, Chad Stewart, who we needed to talk to make sure we had the right answer. But he did also say to me, Lauren, and we should note here this, that the global shipping team is working towards expanding versions of the same sort of functionality as the US eBay International Shipping Programs so that other countries' sellers can take advantage of it. But it is a long-off project. There's no timeline to report. There's no news on any updates how that's working. I think it's right now, it's a hope and an aspiration for eBay. But in the meantime, you can, as we used to advise US sellers last year when this first popped up, just if you don't want to be subject to this German legislation, you can just exclude Germany from your sales. And if you're not selling that much to Germany, it won't really impact your business.
And Griff, I think it was last year that you also mentioned, and maybe this was US sellers only, if the seller was not a business seller, although I kind of get the sense that Lauren is likely a business seller, they were not required to register. Or am I thinking of something else?
No, that was true for the US. In the US, okay, if you identified as a non-business seller, which you could do upon registration, then you didn't have to worry. Or if you were and this is just for the US, if you were a business seller, but you used your social security as your tax ID, you also didn't have to register. And the reason being that that tax ID actually shows up on a German site, that part of the legislation is it has to be available for public view. Well, we don't want people exposing their social security numbers. So that was an exemption for US sellers. I don't know what the case is for the UK. I do believe that where in the U.S. you can self-identify. There are stricter rules that govern the U.K. and the EU about how sellers are identified, either as private sellers or business sellers. If Lauren is a business seller, then the only way that she can get out of being subject to the German Packaging Act is to restrict all of her sales through her shipping policy so that none of her listings are available to buyers located within Germany.
Good advice.
So, Lauren, thanks for sticking in there. If you need any help with doing the editing of your shipping policies, just email us back. We'll try to get an answer to you. Our next question is from eBay seller Carrie, who writes, "Hello, Griff and Brian. Before I jump into my question for you, I'd like to say a bit of thank you for providing so much valuable information in an entertaining way. Your hard work is truly appreciated."
Well, thank you.
I want to thank my producer and my agent and, of course, my family. And anyway, I have a question, says Carrie, about what eBay's policy is for sellers if a customer receives a lost delayed package after a refund has been given. Uh-oh. So, Carrie says, "I recently had a customer bundle over 30 items in an order. FedEx did not deliver the items, and after 2 weeks, I refunded the customer her money. Just my luck, 2 days after I provided the refund, package showed up at the customer's door. The customer is now not responding to me. I want to make sure I handle this the right way, but couldn't find this issue in any of the help sections. Any help you can give would be greatly appreciated. Sincerely, Carrie." And their user ID is K-Bar Ranch Resale. Oh, brother. This is a worst case scenario.
It is.
And you know why? Because there's no recourse. Unfortunately, Carrie, in this situation, post-refund, there's absolutely nothing you as a seller or eBay can do to force the buyer to remit payment for the eventual delivery of items that have already been paid for and then refunded. Some buyers will offer to resend payment because they're good human beings. But since there's no mechanism on eBay to facilitate the remittance of payment once the return is closed, the buyer and the seller actually have to kind of negotiate and find some other option to sending and receiving payment.
And there is a reason for this, by the way.
Yeah.
In brief, the rule is once an item is delivered to an address, the addressee is not required to send it back due to any reason, including sent by mistake or item not paid for. And unless the item was sent COD, the sender cannot demand payment for the item once it is delivered.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate thing is once the item is in somebody's hand, it's theirs. Even if it was sent by mistake, even if you've refunded the money, there's no way. There's no actual way to actually collect. I suppose if you wanted to, you could hire a lawyer and maybe sue them. I don't know.
Well, it depends on the values of the item, right? Whether that going down that path is worth it. I think I'll encourage you to send like a nice friendly reminder email and just hopefully the buyer is listening and does the right thing.
I had this happen to me, by the way, as a buyer. So I bought a medium format camera from a seller in the Ukraine. And this was just when hostilities broke out, when Russia invaded. And I thought, well, I want this camera. It's a good price. Plus, I'll be supporting someone who's maybe in a dire situation. So I paid for the camera. And I knew, we were all aware, this could take a while to get here. Well, it was going on 2 months, and I was emailing the seller, and he said, yeah, I've shipped it. There's a lot going on here. We were coming up to the place where I was going to lose my several hundred dollars on this, so I filed an item not received, and with a note saying, hey, if it ever does get here, I will send you the money. I don't want you to be out of it, and you just have to send me your payment method. It's going to have to be outside of eBay. So I didn't hear from him. I got my refund back. Another 6 weeks went by, and then the camera showed up. 6 weeks, so I emailed him through our messaging system. I was still able to do it. And I said, hey, I got the camera. How do I get this? You know, it was like 300-something bucks to you. He said, that's very thoughtful of you. Thank you. I said, I just need like a PayPal email address or even some like a Zelle or whatever. I'll sign up to get you your $300-something dollars. He never emailed me back. I have this camera that I'm actually don't feel morally justified in actually putting film in and using because I don't think it's my camera. I never paid for it. It just doesn't seem fair. And the guy has since disappeared. Who knows what? But he had other transactions on his feedback that showed, you know, he was successfully fulfilling transactions. So there wasn't a question of he was a dishonest seller. Who knows what his story was? It's always bugged me that I haven't been able to pay for this camera. It's going on 2 years now, so.
Yeah, well, hopefully Carrie's buyer will get back to her with an option.
Yeah, Carrie, let us know if your buyer does recontact you. Unfortunately, if they don't, the news is not good. And it's one of the reasons why, if you're going to have a lot of items in a shipment or a high value, I really want to follow that tracking, hold FedEx or whoever's feet to the fire. I'm an almost exclusive user of UPS now, and though I don't play favorites, I have to report on my own experience, which has been really good with UPS for tracking. And it's always been good for with USPS as well. I just chose UPS because the items I was selling, I was getting a better price for buyers when it came to shipping. And that was important to me.
It almost seems like if an item is so delayed by a carrier that they should be reimbursing the seller.
Yeah, especially if there was, if tracking was spotty. I would love to have known what the tracking said, Carrie. Did the tracking indicate anything for this? Did it just sort of disappear off the radar, no tracking, and then suddenly show up? Because I would have stalled this, not in an attempt to get away with anything, but I would have reassured the buyer saying, look, sometimes this happens. FedEx has given me X for tracking. You can follow it. Give it another week or so and see how it plays out. After, I think the buyer has like 30 days to file the return. Let's hold this off for 30 days and see what happens. In any event, you will get reimbursed by me if these items disappear. So maybe there was also an opportunity to kind of not jump in and refund right away.
Good advice.
Well, where are we? That was that question. So the next question is actually three questions. I love it when sellers do this. And I thought you and I, Brian, can tackle each one in line.
Okay.
It was sent by sellers Ellen and Ed Boucher, or sometimes I think that's pronounced Boucher. I have a friend whose last name is Boucher. It was sent to podcast@ebay.com, as they do. And it starts off with this. Hello, eBay. So now you and I are eBay.
That's risky.
Isn't it? Let's call it Bribay and Griffbay. My husband and I are huge fans of your podcast. As newer resellers, it's just so helpful, and we just love this community. We are the resellers Capstone Finds, and that's Capstone period or dot finds. I have a quick question as I'm relatively new to this. Your recent episode about the LPs from musicals for business convention in the 1950s, seriously, so awesome. I just love that collector guy you had on. He was pretty cool.
He was.
Then you discussed cancellations, and this is where I have a few questions. Okay, here we go. Gird your loins. I had a cancellation situation and could use some expert eBay guidance. I had a customer who I had sold a product to here in the States domestically. He accidentally selected local pickup, but he is thousands of miles away. The product status was sold, but he had not yet paid. I never had a customer select that pickup option before since we started our business in 2021. In any event, anywho, I decided to message him and thank him for his business and that I had observed he selected pickup. And I just wanted to confirm this is what he meant. And he said, no, it wasn't what he had intended. Then he said it showed up as being for shipping on his end, which is impossible, I thought. And I think she means, then he said it showed up, it being local pickup, as being the shipping option on his end, which isn't possible, I thought, though I wasn't sure. I really was at a loss as to how this discrepancy could occur. I also learned you cannot change the shipping status after the product has been sold, but before they pay. As I felt out of options, I messaged the customer and offered that we could cancel the order and would relist it, and then he could select shipping. He said, sure. When I did this, I selected free shipping for him since all this was a pain for him and we're new in business. We wanted to make sure our customers were happy. You have to admire that.
Yes, good approach.
He was happy with the product after all this, which is great, but I never could figure out how it said local pickup on my end and shipping on his. I never knew if maybe he just got confused between products or what, but the bottom line is it was set to pick up on our end and he needed it shipped, so I felt the only option I had was to cancel and relist it. I couldn't figure out how to change the shipping setting in a sold but not paid product status. Question one. Is it possible for a sold product not yet paid to have a setting of pickup on my end but shipping on the customer end? Well, only if you as a seller indicated local pickup as an option.
As an option. It would have to be one of the options for getting the item.
You can set that up in your shipping policy in several ways. You can have shipping options. You can also add local pickup, or you can make local pickup the only option. And there's no way for us to know what your listing had because we don't have access to seller accounts, so we can't check it for you. You can check it, though, to see what was indicated for shipping. If you go to find it, and it should be in either your sold or unsold page in Seller Hub, and then choose relist for that item. Don't go through the whole process, and you don't want to relist it. But when it's in the relist place, you can go through the listing page and you can view the shipping options for that item. Again, don't click the relist button. You don't want to put something up live.
But actually, that's really good advice, Griff. I mean, go back, look at the listing and see if local pickup is an option.
Yeah, because I don't know what you actually indicated for that. But the only way that the buyer could have selected local pickup is you as a seller would have had to provide that as the only or one of the options. Now she has question two. You want to take it?
Alan does go on to ask question two. Can you change shipping options after a customer has offered to pay? Status being sold on my end, but not yet paid. I looked everywhere, but couldn't figure that out. The answer to that question is no. It is not possible to change shipping options for a listing once the listing has been ended as sold.
That's correct.
Yeah, so you have to do it in advance.
Exactly, before you list the item. Or when it's listed, before it sells. So you can always edit a buy it now or fixed price listing and change the shipping. You can also, I think, change the shipping for an auction format as long as there's no bids. Once there's a bid, you can't change those aspects of the listing. So we have a third question from Ellen and Ed, and it is, I never knew that canceling a product causes an account to get dinged. I believe that is the only product we've ever had to cancel, thankfully. But this cancellation wasn't about the product. It was about confusion around the shipping and the fact that the customer selected pickup when he needed it shipped. Any advice you can share on this so I can handle a situation like this better next time? What do you say, Brian?
Well, a little curious. First off, Ellen and Ed, what reason did you select for the cancellation? It should have been problem with the address or buyer request. Any other reason would have resulted in, as you said, a ding to your account.
Exactly. Now, as for advice, you two, I would say you should double check all your shipping policies and determine if one of them has local pickup an option when you don't want it to be there. If one or more of them do, and you don't want to offer local pickup, edit those policies to remove the local pickup option. So, yeah, and then they finished off their email because we answered their questions in line. They say, thank you guys again for a great show. I love how applicable your topics are to us resellers, and your guests rock. Don't they, though? We have great guests.
They do.
Cheers, Ellen and Ed Boucher of Capstone.Finds.
Well, thanks, Ellen and Ed.
Yeah, great question.
Our next question comes from seller Stephanie, who mailed us at podcast@ebay.com. Hey, Brian and Griff, I'm back on eBay for the first time in years and made a few listings. I'm Canadian, and our issues could be an entire episode. Oh, that's that makes me a little nervous. But my first question is about shipping. I would love to offer free shipping in Canada and the United States whenever I can. Can I specify custom shipping like up to 3 days for handling and 3 to 10 days for shipping in North America only? I would choose the best provider based on the customer location and note import duty fees and delays at the border may occur. The only options that I see are specific shipping services that are between 1 and 8 business days. For example, if I choose UPS Standard United States but end up sending it with FedEx because it is better or cheaper, is that going to ding me? Also, there's no free shipping option. I suppose I can select $0. All the options seem pretty rigid. Custom options would be great. Thank you. Stephanie, Border City Shop. Well, thanks, Stephanie. There's a lot to unpack there. Let's start with handling times. Each shipping policy can only have one handling time, and that covers both domestic and international shipping options. So think of it strictly as handling.
Yeah, so for every listing, a listing can only have one handling time. It could be the handling time you set, 1, 2, 3, 10 days, but you can't have two different handling times for one listing. And as for changing shipping services post-payment, you can elect to change a shipping service post-payment, you know, and that means like they've paid and now you're going to go print out the label. And in some instances, your options are there, depending on the class of service and the item, where you can choose, they may have paid for UPS, but you may see that FedEx is a better rate, so you may want to change it to FedEx so you save a little money. You asked about getting dinged, and you're not necessarily going to get dinged, but any change to a service that you select for labels should not be one that is significantly less expensive or slower for delivery. So there may be a reason why, if you've offered a number of choices, that a buyer has chosen a particular service And the only time that I would change that service is if it's going to result in maybe quicker delivery and it's around the same price. If it's going to be significantly less expensive, even if you don't have the postage amount printed on the package, it may cause the buyer to think, oh, wait a minute, they just made money off me by charging for shipping and then buying a cheaper label. You don't want that.
No.
Yeah.
I agree. And I think, you know, think about it from the buyer's side. The buyer elected to purchase the item based on what was shown for shipping cost and delivery time. So the shipping for less than the stated shipping cost or using a service that has a longer delivery time can result in an unhappy buyer.
Yeah, and who wants that?
Not me.
Yeah, and there's another thing too, is it's about free shipping. So this is the same in the U.S. As far as free shipping, the free shipping option is only available for any of the domestic services that you select, but not additional international services for that same listing or policy. What you said about selecting a flat rate for international shipping and then indicated zero for cost, you can do that. Not sure why you would, though. Why are you want? I mean, international shipping is expensive.
It's expensive.
You want to eat that cost?
Yeah, I mean, unless she has a very inexpensive way to get something from Canada to the United States.
And it's not too expensive. It doesn't weigh much or it's a small package.
Yeah. So the available options are limited because to add more would increase the complexity for both the buyer and the seller.
Yeah. And that's to address that question about she'd like more custom options. Yeah.
Which we have heard from other sellers.
But
there's a balancing act that we have to do between all the options that, you know, the millions of sellers would like to have and keeping it simple. Or as simple as possible for unsophisticated or sellers who are just selling an item once in a while.
Exactly.
Well, our next question was emailed to us by eBay UK seller Patrick, who asks, I wonder if Patrick knows our other UK seller.
It's not that small a country.
No, it's not. I was just there a couple of months ago. Hi, both. I'm a keen listener and slowly building my new brand. Repair, Don't Despair. Okay, I like that name. On eBay UK. My question is, if I want to see how many of my items sold with no negotiation at bin price versus those that sold through offers, how can I do this? Can I get a metric for this? E.g., X percent of items sold at full price in the last 12 months and X percent of items sold were through offers. Thank you. That's Patrick Davis.
This is the type of question I love getting because there's no hunting around for answers. We have the answer and he's going to love it because it exists. What he's looking for actually exists. So Patrick, you can definitely see this metric. It's available in Seller Hub. Look for the sales link on Seller Hub under the performance tab. That page has a long list of different sales views as widgets. And one of the widgets will show you total sales for a specific time period that you can choose. And it will show you three different view options. One is all sales. One is promoted listing sales, and the other is offer sales. And it breaks down so that you can actually see percentage of total sales for, say, things like best offer, seller-initiated offers, and sales without offers. It gives you a dollar amount for the time period you select and a percentage. It even has this cool little graph that can show you month to month how these different figures have changed. Glad you could see this, right? It's really important.
I wonder if he doesn't have access to Seller Hub.
No, the UK sellers have it, don't they?
They do, but not everybody. Some of our sellers still like to use the old just My eBay.
Oh, why?
And they don't go into Seller Hub. But Patrick, if you do have access to Seller Hub, then go into the performance tab and you'll find it very quickly. If you don't currently have access to Seller Hub, I'd strongly encourage you to switch over from My eBay into Seller Hub.
Yeah. This is really important because if you're doing this on a full-time or even part-time basis, but it's run as a business and not as a hobby, you need these business metrics so that you can manage your business better. And there's so much in Seller Hub. And in fact, coming up, I'll actually allude to this at the end of the show. So I just want to say this, Patrick, get into Seller Hub and you'll find those metrics. They're waiting for you. They've been waiting for you for months. They'll be happy to see that you showed up.
Griff, can I do a quick little plug before you go on? So I just want to encourage all of our listeners, if they haven't, we've got our 2023 Up and Running Grants program going. And so it's out there for all of our US-based sellers. And you know, if encourage you to go check out the program and see if you want to apply, and you could be eligible for up to a $10,000 grant for your business. So
that's right.
Encourage you to check it out.
Yes. And we're going to end our All Questions episode with a question called into our voice line at 888-723-4630. It's from eBay seller Greg.
Hello, you two. On the April 18th podcast, you answered a question from Suzanne, and she asked about time away and said that if she makes offers while time away is on, will the time away honor her offers so that she doesn't have to ship until she returns? And you gave the very sad answer that no, you still have to ship within the handling time that is stated, that time away does not adjust whenever you send offers and they are accepted. I'm so sad about that because time away, your sales might slow a little bit just because that message, this seller will be away for 5 more days. And I like to send offers while out of town just to kind of keep things regular. However, the big question now is, what if we receive an offer while out of town? You didn't address that. It's really the rest of the pie that, and I love pie. It's really the rest of the pie. And so can you tell us, will time away be offered if someone sends us an offer, makes an offer to us, the seller, and we accept it during time away? Do we not have to ship until we get home? Sure do appreciate that. I'm Greg Perry, P-E-R-R-Y. My eBay seller ID is OKIEGP, O-K-I-E-G-P. Thanks a lot. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Well, Greg, there's so much. There's another question that has a lot of unpacking. But the first thing I can tell you is, and this is important to know, that the time away, the way it's set up now, it doesn't cover best offers sent by the seller during the time away period. So if you're on time away and you send an offer and the buyer accepts your offer, you're going to be obliged to send that item with the handling time stated in the listing. There's no way around that.
And before I carry on, you know, Griff, I just have one question. You know, Greg alluded to really enjoying pie. I also like pie. My favorite's apple. What's yours?
I don't really like pie.
You don't like pie?
I mean, I don't hate it.
Griff.
They're all too sweet.
Hmm.
I guess I'd have to say I like meat pies.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a pie.
There's an Italian, Sicilian Nabilodon version of a meat pie that was popular where I grew up in Massachusetts as a child that I really liked, and I've tried to duplicate over the years. But yeah, sweet fruit pies usually have too much sugar in them for me now.
Okay.
Not enjoying it.
Well, I guess more pie for me and Greg.
Pie away.
Yep. Well, Greg, you could edit your handling times for all your listings so that they reflect how long it will be before you can ship. You should also consider editing all your listings with auto best offers prior to your time away so you can remove those auto send offers.
Yeah, and I want to make this clear that time away was improved, but one of the things that wasn't included and may be included in the future is it does not accommodate the best offer features. So my biggest question, by the way, to you is, why are you trying to do business during time away? You
know, that's a good question.
You should be taking time off from your business, not sending out offers. If you really have to do this, if you know you can't really take a break from business and you really have to travel, then you're going to have to, like Brian said, edit all your handling times because time away is not going to adjust for best offers. It's just, that's how it works. Unfortunately.
Yeah. And I know I've used this analogy in the past, but I like, and not everyone likes it, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Go ahead.
If you owned a store on Main Street and you were taking a week's vacation and you didn't have an employee to open up the door and run the shop and sell the items while you were there, you wouldn't make any sales. And so with eBay time away, the thing that it does is it allows you in some ways to close up your shop, but still make some sales and then hand those items to people when you get back from your vacation. It really wasn't designed to enable you to continue to sell unless you've got somebody who can actually put that item into shipping.
Yeah. So those are your options. I know that's not ideal. We thank you for calling it in because we love calling questions and hope you'll call in some more. But Brian, that's all for this week. That's all the questions we have. So I want to thank every seller who sent in or called in their questions.
Agreed. Thank you. And some really good questions and great content for all of our listeners from all different levels.
And let us know, do you want us to do more than just two of these episodes a year? We'd love to know. We can do one a quarter where it's all questions. Just let us know at podcast@ebay.com, or you can call us at 888-723-4630.
If you have a question you want us to attempt to answer, why not call us on 888-723-4630?
Yeah, they're good attempts. That's 888-723-4630. You can call that number any time of the day at your convenience. Leave a question or comment, and we just might put it on the air like we did two of those today.
And if you're not a call-on-the-phone person, you can always email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
And now it's time for your three-point podcast weekly checklist.
Check the announcement board at ebay.com/announcements for up-to-date seller news every day.
Now, I got to ask you for our second one. Could you pass a test on what's in Seller Hub? Do you know all the features and data that Seller Hub provides you as a seller? If you do, then good. A gold star for you. But if you aren't sure, then you need to take a few minutes right now and click through all of the pages in Seller Hub and explore every single little feature that's in there. You might be surprised to find there's the data and the information for your sales that you didn't even know existed.
Great tip, Griff. Need to review anything in this episode? It's easy. Check the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you've heard and to find the links we referenced during the episode.
On our next episode, we welcome back seller coach extraordinaire Kathy Tarot. She's going to talk about solutions that you as a seller can implement to help counter what are seasonally slow summer sales.
And we'd like to again thank all the sellers who sent in their questions for this episode.
Yes, thank you so much. We appreciate it. The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.